The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right, enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, but you're telling me I'm wrong?
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
He's telling the truth. I am back in Canton at the home of Living Bread Radio with my compatriots, Andrew Krucek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer, and really looking forward to your calls. Last week, took a whole bunch of calls from the folks in the audience there at the Good News Cruise. I did a lot to answer them, but now I get my land legs back. I'll tell you what. I got back to my house and I was just wobbling back and forth. No, that's not true. Those big things just kind of barely can you feel it. So, first of all, down to bitness here. The number on the program, 877-573-7825. There's a chain of command, or as they would say with evidence, there's a chain of providence. 877-573-7825 gets you first to Eric Dumont. Then he puts you in line, and then that gets you to me. And then after we're done, you go back to wherever you were, in the car, at home, outside, on the swing set, in the bathroom, wherever you were. 877-57-EQUAL. Question about something in your life that matters, doesn't matter. Something that perplexes you, doesn't perplex you, just makes you wonder a bit. Isn't really to the level of flummox. Whether it's kid, whether it's job, stress, emotions, something along those lines. And it can be generic. Doesn't have to be something particular to your own circumstance. It can be a question about development or intellect or therapy or diagnosis or a word you don't understand in psychology like catatonic, you know, or pseudocyesis or, like, matter of fact, that's kind of all it. See, I do try to use big words that I sometimes don't know the meaning of just so I can sound more photosynthesis. 877-57-EQUAL. I would be delighted to hear from you. I want to thank all the good people who may still be listening, even after having experienced me somewhat in person. If you're still coming back to the radio show, I truly appreciate it. It's very kind of you. Getting to meet a lot of you there on the Good News Cruise for 7 days. There's a problem there, though. Prior to the cruise, I determined I'm going to lose 10 pounds. That's right. Prepping for the cruise. And I'm glad to say, I only have 16 more to go. Actually, introducing some of our speakers or doing a couple of sessions myself, all that was is really a digestive period to go back to the buffet. I'm not making this number up, but I think if I were to count it on the 7 days we were on that boat, do you say ship or boat? I don't know. Something about a size makes it a ship, and then something lesser makes it a boat. Boat sounds cooler. I was probably at the buffet, I'm not making this number up, 15 times. Oh, yeah, the servers knew my name. Hey, Ray, how are you? Hey, guys, how are you? The usual? Yeah, the usual. I went platinum. Yeah, my last visit there, I made it to platinum. They put my picture up. Very nice of them. They did not like, though, when I pulled my chair up to the buffet line. They were a little upset about that because people had to go around me. But I thought, I don't want to keep walking back to my table and coming back. And one night we actually sat at a restaurant. It was terrible. This strange person kept coming to my table, bringing me food. I said, "What are you doing? I'll go get it. Where's it? Back in the kitchen? I'll get it." That was really a weird experience. I'll tell you, I felt like I was outside my stomach, looking out, bringing food to my table. And then, I don't want to say everybody else hit the buffet. When that boat came in, it was sitting about 2 feet lower in the water. We scraped bottom a couple of times. Cruises, you eat every 12 seconds on a cruise. Have you noticed that? We have the Lido buffet my security code? Oh, boy, I better send that to my wife. We have the Lido buffet at 9:12 right before breakfast, which is our pre-breakfast buffet. Then we have the post-breakfast pre-luncheon buffet before we get to lunch. And I thought, well, you know, if we ever hit a iceberg or something when we go down, I think the food will stop. No. They say things like, just in case we go down, please, my wife says, please send me the security code. Okay, geez. Sorry, guys, I have to do this because our computer went down and we can't conduct any business whatsoever. Copy that there. There. This is really not professional. Not at all. Put that there. Okay. There we go. I figured, okay, they have plans for everything. You have to go to your muster station in case the ship hits something and goes down. But I figure you go down, you're not going to be eaten. No, they said. And for your pleasure and dining comfort, we have the lifeboat buffet available at the front of every lifeboat. Whew. So, anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful trip. 877-573-7825. Some questions that people asked me on the boat. So I thought, okay, when I get back on land, I will answer some of these questions. Do people ever hurt your feelings? It is very hard to hurt my feelings because when I was a boy, I regularly brought the wrong tools to my dad. Think about that. Just think about that. Were your children spoiled? No, I'm pretty much convinced all kids smell that way, you know? How do you stay fit? Oh, well, I jog every morning. I jog 5 times around the block. And at the end of circle number 5, I put the block back into the toy box. That's it. Do you have social media? Well, at my age, I'm not real tech savvy. I think the word for that is digerati. I'm not real tech savvy. But if you do want to follow me, there's a couple of ways. The bulletin board at Costco and my chart. Those are two ways to keep up with me. Okay, 877-573-7825. I had to make those comments about the boat, but I'd rather talk to you now. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jangle.
St. Ignatius of Loyola introduces the sixth rule of his 14 rules for the discernment of spirits, calling to mind the directive of the fifth rule. In the fifth rule, St. Ignatius directs us not to change our spiritual decisions or proposals when we are in a time of spiritual desolation. The sixth rule states, although in desolation we should not change our first proposals, it is very advantageous to change ourselves intensely against the desolation itself. The call on the sixth rule is to change ourselves. to change ourselves intensely against the spiritual desolation. We are not called to passively endure spiritual desolation, for God's call in the time of spiritual desolation is always to resist and fight against the desolation with strength, trust, and determination. How will you change yourself against the desolation?
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Good to have you with me here on The Doctor Is In. I appreciate it so very, very much. All right. Now, this is sad for me. Yvette from Colorado called in, and she reached Eric Dumont. And she thought, is this Jim and Joy? Jim and Joy Pinto have a program on EWTN television in the afternoons, and she wanted to talk to them. Instead, she got stuck with me. I wasn't even on her radar. I wasn't even a plan B. It wasn't like, well, if I can't get a hold of Jim and Joy, I'll call Roy Ganuti or whatever that guy's name is. No, no, no. Eric said, well, you can still talk to Dr. Ray. And she said, well, I'd prefer to talk to Jim and Joy. But, okay, what's his name again? Hi, Yvette, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. Ray. I love you all the time.
I am so used to, from college, when the cheerleaders would call my house in college and say, is Biff there? And I'd say, no, but you can talk to me. So this is kind of a replay of that.
Oh, no.
Now, it's interesting here how you phrased your question, how to find joy in motherhood. And you were calling Joy Pinto.
Yes, that is funny.
Interesting. Tell me about it. What's going on?
Okay, Dr. Ray. So I decided to start on an adventure and start my own business. The problem, though, is that it seeps into my everyday motherhood. I can't seem to turn off when work starts and when motherhood starts. And so I have a hard time bringing that joy when I'm with my children because I'm thinking about the work and I'm trying to keep everybody on track. And I hate to say it, but it's just very hard to have joy at this moment of my life.
Wait a minute, Yvette. You can have joy at this moment because you're talking to me. Now, if you say moment in terms of passage, okay, I got that part. But the moment means a very particular time and place, and I would like to think you're having joy right now. We'll let that slide.
I really am.
Don't let it happen again. All right, here's my answer. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
This is why I think you're struggling to transport from one place to another, in your case, from establishing a business at home to being mom. You ready? Here it is. You are probably making success in your business too important.
Yes. Yes, I am.
You are tying it into, and boy, I'm going to sound really shrinky here. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Somehow you must be tying it into your own view of yourself as a competent woman, rather than saying, I'm trying to start a business and it's got a lot of hiccups, got a lot of things that can go wrong, But when I stop that business and I move into motherhood, that business gets no more thoughts. You haven't been doing that because, see, you're still kind of looking back at that business.
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's on my mind 24/7.
Yeah, no. That's what's killing you. That's what's killing you. And you know why it's on your mind 24/7? You're making it too important.
Yeah.
Yvette, what would happen if you failed, if the business didn't go? What would that mean to you?
Well, I'd be in a lot of debt.
Well, okay, that's practical. That's practical. It's not insurmountable, but it's practical. But what would it mean in terms of your own self-view? I'm a failure?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't. If you think like that, girl, you're going to have a heck of a time.
Yeah, that I'm a failure and I didn't come through with my promise to help financially at home.
No.
Those would be the things.
No, that's not true. That means at this point, if that business fails, you didn't follow through on the promise. But that doesn't mean you can't follow through on the promise in some other way. Just because that business didn't make it. Do you know the percentages of businesses that fail?
It's quite high.
It's like 95. So, in essence, what you're doing is you're saying, I've got to make this work. And, of course, in trying to make it work, there's all kinds of hiccups and roadblocks and frustrations that when you leave it to go with your little one, because you sound pretty young, go with your little five-year-old, that stuff is still nagging you in the back of your head rather than saying, I will not think about that. It's time to be mom.
Right.
So you got to determine that. And the reason you can do that is if you say to yourself, here is the script. Aren't you glad you called me by accident?
I am very glad. This was actually a pleasant surprise.
Thank you. Here's the script. If that business doesn't go, it means one thing. Are you ready?
Yes.
My business didn't go. That's all it means. It doesn't mean I failed. It doesn't mean I'm a failure. It doesn't mean I let people down. It doesn't mean I'm never going to be able to help financially around. It doesn't mean any of that. But see, you're telling yourself all that. And that's what's taking you down. And that's what's making you carry it into when it's time to be mom.
Okay.
Now, here's what I want you to do. Call Joy and say, Joy, I talked to Dr. A. And he gave me some psychological malarkey, and I just wanted to talk to a mom.
Okay.
Here's the thing, honey. You are not. How should I put this? You are not missing joy in your motherhood. You still have that, but it's being junked over by all the worries that you're carrying with you from the job problems.
Yeah,
don't make that job more important than it is. It's something you've decided to pursue. It's something that you say, if it works out, it'll be great. But if it doesn't work out, it just means it didn't work out. That's all it means.
Okay.
I can't tell you how many times that I had opportunities to be on TV, secular TV. They all fell through. I just got to a point where it's like, okay, well, all right, man, that's not going to happen. But in the end, I got to be on EWTN, which was way, way better. But I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was coming.
Okay.
Call back if you have to, and I'll just keep nudging you. But I just got a question.
Yes.
How did you get confused to think you were calling Jim and Joyce show?
The radio, EWTN, said that it was Jim and Joy, and they were talking about how to find joy.
Wait a minute. Andrew, are the Pintos stepping on my time slot? I think what happened, it might have been an advertisement.
Oh, okay, maybe.
Yeah. And see what happened? Your mind wasn't even... See, your mind was so confused, you even got confused on an advertisement. How many kids do you have?
But here? I got you.
Yeah?
I have five.
See? Okay. You... What's the age range?
I have five.
Okay, but age range?
Let's see. Going to be 13, 10... 9, 6, and 5.
So you're smack in the middle of motherhood. You're flat in the belly of motherhood.
Yes.
So that said, you tell that stupid job, I will give you my all when I'm working on it. Once I leave it, my five kids are getting all of me. Because I am not going to worry about whether I succeed or fail on that job. Because that is not who you are.
Okay.
That I'm glad you called and, by mis- Yes, dear. Go ahead.
Yes, me too. Yes. I'm having a hard time with the three older girls. They love to bicker and fight, and sometimes they can get pretty nasty.
Ooh.
And they don't like to listen to mom.
How do you stop them?
Probably not the best way. Yelling back.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll do it. Gee, Mom, thanks for yelling at us. We'll treat each other nicer now.
Yeah.
All right, here's what you do. And that could be part of your enjoyment, too. It ain't all coming from the fact that you're frustrated of your job. It's coming from the fact that these kids are frustrating the snot out of you. Okay, house rule. No one is allowed to mistreat another person in any way. No taunting, no nasty arguing, no meanness, no disrespect, nothing, zero tolerance. And here's what I'm going to do. I will not say a word anymore. This is our house rule. You will immediately write a letter of apology to the offended sibling. Length I decide, handwritten. Every time. You want to write 20 a day? You can write 20 a day.
Okay.
That'll work. That'll cut it by 90% by next week. But you got to do it.
Yes. Okay.
And I will tell you this, Yvette. I think I'd have a little trouble having joy in fatherhood, too, if in my house my three oldest kids were constantly gone at each other. I think I'd have a little trouble with joy, too. But they're not going to stop unless you stop them.
Yes, okay.
Atta girl.
Okay.
Talk to you.
This is very nice, Dr. Ray. Thank you so much.
I'm glad to be, okay, one more thing. I get all excited. Some cute girl in college called me. All excited to pick up the phone. Hi, Tiffany. Hi, Ray. I was wondering, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm not doing anything. I'm totally free. Great, Ray. If I bring over my math homework, would you do it? Because I got a date with Biff. Oh, okay. This is sort of a parallel to that.
Yeah.
Yvette, you call anytime. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Bye. All right, I know. I spent a lot of time with Yvette, and I broke rules. You know, the rule is, okay, no more than 4 minutes per radio call. That's crazy. Depends on the person, depends on the call, depends on all kinds of things. But we do have other calls. Just came up, so I will get to those after this break. The number is 877-57-EQUAL, and I'm certainly delighted to have your company. We'll be right back.
now the EWTN Family Prayer with Father Joseph.
Family, a prayer that we pray together is a powerful prayer. So please pray together with me our EWTN Family Prayer. Today we pray for the caregivers of the sick. O Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we adore you. You have first loved us, and through your Son you have taught us the excellence of self-giving love. Give to those who are caregivers of a sick parent or child, brother or sister, the assistance of your holy angels. Lessen their burdens and give them great joy in practicing a work of mercy. And since charity is never forgotten by you, reveal to them their heavenly reward. Amen.
Just stop talking. That's what my mind is shouting, even as my mouth is running. Refraining from speaking takes discipline, humility, and wisdom. If a conversation isn't edifying, why enter it? Why slide into gossip? It's an easy trap to fall into. Then we justify it as saying, I'm just venting. But what does venting really accomplish? We have to learn to refrain from the chit-chat that tears people down, even when what we're saying is technically true. Have you ever shared something that had you running to confession? So how do we stop the conversation before it starts? Well, we pray, we pause, we call on the Holy Spirit to guide our tongue. Ephesians reminds us that let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So my coach's question is this: what would change if you paused long enough to ask, will my words build up or break down? This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
Now, you saw kind of an interesting microcosm of doing therapy. Yvette called in. She said, look, I'm not having the joy I want to have in motherhood. And she talked about making the transition from work to home to home to work to work to home. But then, and it was only about 6 minutes into the call, when she also happened to mention that the friction between her three oldest had been going on for quite a while, and that can bring you down as a parent. So it's a matter of finding out what's going on, and oftentimes it's a lot. And I don't want to say a lot in terms of seriously a lot, in terms of numbers. Initially, what looked to be only transitioning from job at home to motherhood at home became, well, yeah, but when I transition into motherhood, I am met with three older, very, very bickering, and sometimes, and she didn't say this, but I read between the lines, sometimes kind of hurtful to each other, children. And I asked her, well, how do you do it? And she goes, I stop them. I yell at them. Stop it. Leave her alone. She's bothering you. Which, of course, they will just ignore their mother. Kids ignore words for the most part. Jan is calling from Texas. Hi, Jan.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
I have a 42-year-old son who is living at home with us, and he does work, but he does film festivals. So, you know, it's on again, off again. And a little background about him. He had a heart attack at 39. And right before that, he was scheduled to do international film festivals in Australia and New Zealand and various places, which was going to open up a whole new career path for him. Well, that's when COVID hit. So that ended. That didn't happen. And then he had a heart attack. And from there, he just seemed to be so depressed. Like I said, he works, but it's, you know, a film festival. He might be gone for 2.5 months. Then he might be home for 3 months doing nothing and then be gone or work remotely again. And my husband has been, he has cancer, so he doesn't want to confront him to get him to get a full-time job, so that we're worried about his retirement, his, you know, his future, being self-sufficient on his own. He's living with us and not paying for anything.
Why do you let him, Jan, why do you let him not pay for anything?
Because
life has been mean to him.
Yeah. Yeah, I've enabled him, and I've got to stop it.
He's been home since age 39?
Yes.
And part
on
of...
On and off. I mean, he has gone and worked at film festivals, but, you know, it's not consistent. There's no retirement plan. They don't pay for insurance. He was paying for insurance himself, but then some of the government programs ended, so now he doesn't even have insurance.
So if he has any kind of cardiac recurrence, he's in big trouble. It's very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Well, it sounds to me, you tell me if I'm wrong, that because he got hit hard with a double whammy, which was an early in life heart attack and COVID shutting down his business for a year or more, that you feel pretty bad about it. Life's ripped him off. So you're reluctant to expect grown-up behavior from him.
Right. I mean,
okay.
If we say too much, he's very angry. And my husband does not, he grew up in a household where his sister and his mother, I mean, really fought. And he just shuts down totally. I feel like I'm almost on my own in this fight. And then, you know, my son blames me.
What's he blame you for? You've been letting him live there.
Well, that... Yep.
All right. There's two questions here. One is easy to answer. One is very, very difficult to answer. And then there is a conclusion.
Okay.
The first question is, what can you do to make your son see that he's being short-sighted about his life? Now, that's the question that's very, very hard to answer, because he clearly doesn't want to entertain any kind of answer to that, obviously.
Right.
Okay. The easier question to answer is, what are you going to do about it? If you say, well, I'm hoping that eventually he kind of comes to his senses, well, then here's the conclusion. You're going to live with him, it sounds like quite a while longer, and you better completely, totally stop telling him anything about how to be more responsible, because you just make him mad. Correct?
Correct.
Right? So what keeps you from going after him, trying to reason with him, trying to nudge him, trying to make him see the light, when whenever you do this, his attitude is, shut up, Mom? What keeps you doing it?
I mean,
you think one of these times you're going to get through.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, that he'll be reasonable, that he'll actually carry on the conversation.
The fact that he hasn't, Jan, for three years, what makes you think that he will?
I think deep down inside, I know he won't. I have to confront him, and I have to draw some lines somewhere.
That's your decision, but you ask yourself this question, and this can help you make that decision. the way you've been doing it so far, is that helping or hurting your son?
Hurting.
Do you want to keep hurting him?
No.
Then you may have to do something that you're very uncomfortable doing.
And does that mean giving him an ultimatum that if he doesn't do this, this, and this, kick him out?
Well, you have every right to do that. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you do have every right to do that.
I can make other...
Yeah, you could do that, and you're going to get his wrath and probably your husband's wrath. But I think at some point, Jan, even with all your kind-heartedness, you're going to have had enough.
Did you know you have divine glory living within you? If you are a baptized Christian, you are host to a gentle guest, says the Catholic Catechism. This guest inspires, guides, corrects, and strengthens us to live our life in Christ. That gentle friend is the Spirit of Christ, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit. He is active in us, transforming us spiritually if we are willing, so that we may live as children of the light. There are two ways to live. The first way, the way of Christ, leads to life. The opposite way leads to death, an eternity without God. Choose life, then. Choose Christ, a life of challenge and joy. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
St. John Paul's theology of the body teaches us that having healthy relationships means cooperating with God's design of our bodies. Research tells us that kids' brains can't learn and integrate new behaviors when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared. Have you ever felt like everything you tell your kids goes in one ear and out the other? Well, are you telling them those things when they're stressed, upset, distracted, or scared? That might be your answer. Discipleship discipline, an approach inspired by St. John Bosco, gives parents strategies to help their kids calm down first so they can learn what their parents are trying to teach them. Discipleship discipline is an important part of the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Dr. Ray Grandy, the doctor, is in dispensing a little bit of aerosol over the air, broadcast Valium. I appreciate your company. It's always very, very nice. Joan from New Hampshire has a very talkative friend. I tend to study excessive talkers. I see what it is that keeps them talking in an endless stream. And you either nod or every once in a while, it sounds like, which is the sound of you trying to get a word in edgewise. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
I am not going to be an excessive talker with you. I'm simply going to listen.
Oh, Dr. Ray, all I can tell you is that we love her. But we just had an episode where she met some strangers at church, and she started telling them about their problems with her children. And that's when I said, something's got to be done.
Well, she's probably turning a lot of people off, right?
Everybody.
They see her coming. Off. They see her coming. Look out!
That's right. That's right. You got it.
Why do you think she's missing it? Why do you think she's not picking up on people tending to avoid her or cut short these conversations?
Well, that's one of the things we don't understand, and that's why I'm calling you. Why doesn't she?
Well, you want me to understand it. I don't even know her. If you can't understand her.
No. No.
Has she always been that way? Is this just her temperament?
Ever since I've known her, she's been that way. And it really is a big turnoff. And, you know, just recently I had to stay away from her because I just couldn't handle it any longer. It is so excessive. If I'm alone with her, I'll say, stop. One story at a time. And she is very descriptive. So when she's telling you a story, she can branch off and pull in three other stories so to help you understand that story that she's trying to talk about.
So she's pushing you to your limit.
She's pushing me and everybody else around, too.
It's not so much the talking, then. It's the fact that, is it filtered with complaining?
Yes. All complaints.
Oh. Well, you're not going to be able to stop her with other people. You know that, don't you?
No, but you know what I'm looking for is maybe some kind words that I can say to her. Or, you know, what do you do? Do you just sit down with her and do you just address it and say, okay, we've got a major problem here?
If you're going to do that, and you said some kind words, you can be as very gentle and diplomatic as you could possibly be. That doesn't guarantee she's going to hear you. So just know that. Recognize that you could be risking your friendship if you do that. If you think it's worth it, if you think, well, I'm going to try to somehow get her to see what's happening here because she doesn't see it. Okay, that's the downside of you doing that. A shorter intervention, you kind of touched upon it, Joan. You said one story at a time. What you can do is say, oh, I don't need to hear this. None of my business. And that's your soundbite. Eight sentences later, oh, I don't need to hear this. None of my business. Eight sentences later, I don't need to hear this. None of my business. You're basically trying to put guardrails, but she'll blow through that. You know that. She'll blow right through it and keep going. But at some point, maybe the drip, drip, drip of, I really don't need to hear this. None of my business. Maybe we'll get her to stop. How old is she, Joan?
She's in her late 60s.
Oh, wow.
Late 60s. But Dr. Yeah. Ray, why does somebody talk like that, just nonstop? She's a well-educated woman.
There are a lot of people in my life who are nonstop talkers. I've studied it informally as I've sat and listened to them, wondering, what is it that you are just this steady stream of words without taking a breath?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it varies from person to person. I think probably the best explanation is that we're all wired so very differently. And some people just, by their nature, are talkers. Now, in your friend's case, it isn't only the talking, it's the complaining. The talking might not turn people off, but the complaining, the dumping on you of all my sorrows and sadness and tragedies, people, I talk about that. I wrote a book called How to Get Along with Almost Everybody, and there were three conversation killers that I identified, and complaining was one of them. People just don't want to be around a steady diet of somebody else complaining. They just don't. I think you're more insightful question, Joan, is how come she doesn't see how she affects other people, right?
Yes.
I know. She may be so caught up in what she has to say that she just doesn't pick up on their cues. And the fact that she's almost 70 years old, is she generally a content or discontent individual?
I would say in between there.
Okay.
in between.
So she lives her life.
She does have a very... I was going to say, she does have a very unhappy home life.
Mm. Which gives her plenty of material to tell other people about, huh?
Yes.
Okay. I think you're the one place that you can make much of a difference is with you. And at that point, when you say one story at a time, all you're really doing is you're doing two things. One, you're trying to refocus her, but that's okay because she'll finish that story and she'll tell you another one. So that doesn't really work. One story at a time, you're still kind of hanging in there for 18 minutes until you say, look, I got to go. Did she call you on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, you got caller ID?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, sometimes I don't answer it. That's true. Well,
I would think you're wise.
Sometimes I do. And I usually keep the conversation short because usually I'm busy doing something. And, I'll just end it.
Put yourself on a diet. You answer her no more than maybe once every 2 days. And you keep it within 10 minutes. That's your diet.
Okay,
unfortunately, unfortunately, here's the problem. You're not helping her by listening indefinitely like that. It may seem like the Christian thing to do, but I don't believe it is. I believe it's not helping her. All it's doing is reinforcing the fact that she goes on and on and on and on about her complaints. Now, I'm going to ask you one more question before I take a break, Joan, and I know what your answer is going to be. Does she ever take advice and then implement it?
I don't know. It's a good question, but I just don't know. But I'll tell you what. I'll try what you have said, and if it doesn't work out, I'll call you back, and you can come up with another idea for me.
Okay, but don't keep me on the phone too long.
No, I won't. I won't.
I'm
don't
teasing.
Forget, you're the one doing all the talking.
Oh, you're killing me. Thanks, Joan. I'll talk to you. Bye. Andrew, that's a good one for our bumpers. I'll call you back. If it doesn't work, I'll call you back and give me another idea. That's a good one. I hope you got it. This is Dr. Ray.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope at seeing the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
If you look at the surveys, I won't call them studies because they're surveys, they're polls. The average woman uses twice as many words as the average guy. Therefore, if there's going to be excessive talking, it's more likely to be a woman. Now, I know some guys personally who are excessive talkers, just excessive. They get caught up in details, and whatever they wanted to tell you is buried under a whole bunch of squirrel trails where they just go off. But more often, it is a woman, and women are naturally more verbal than men. So if they're going to drift into excessive talking, and the complications of excessive talking are what frustrates the listener or the trying to listen. One, you saw from Joan, it was the complaining. That's tough to take. It is just tough to take. Another one is bragging. If I'm going to go on and tell you how my life is superior to yours, my kids are superior to yours, my car is superior to yours, my flower beds are superior to yours. If I'm going to do that, the implication is you're inferior to me, and that's hard for people to listen to. Another one is I'm not going to ask about you if I'm talking endlessly. Have you noticed that? The person who excessively talks generally doesn't show much interest in you. Whether they realize that or not, they don't ask you much about yourself. They may not even know much about yourself. I couldn't ask Joan this question, but I wanted to say, does your friend know a whole lot about you? She's so quick to tell you everything that's wrong in her life. And among Christians, there is this wrestling match mentally. Well, how much as a Christian am I obliged to sit here and listen? That's a problem in therapy. I will tell you that. There are folks in therapy that I could not say one word for 1 hour, and they would talk the whole time. I have to interrupt them with anything that I think might help them because they're just locked into a stream of thoughts. Joan raised the question, why? What is it? The motives are different. If you're going to complain, then you're going to go on and on. If you're going to brag, you're going to go on and on. Sometimes it's just detail. I think what I have to tell you is so detail rich and important that I got to cover every detail. I can get this among, for example, people who call me informally and just want to talk about a situation. These are not clients. These are not folks. Anyway, just simple situations where if I'm out somewhere, hey, can I talk to you a minute? Sure. And then they feel that I have to tell you every single detail so that you can know exactly what to tell me. And much of the time, those details are extraneous. They're kind of irrelevant to the core issue that the person is asking about. I might say this. If you look at yourself, and you say, I kind of drift into too much talking. Catch yourself. And all you do is you stop and you ask about the other person. I've had people catch themselves like that. And they'll say, man, I just been going on and on. So, Ray, what's new in your life? And I might say a sentence or something. And that sentence touches off in them something similar. You know, I had a situation like that and off they go. So you be careful when you talk a lot like that. You train other people not to converse because their attitude is, if I do tell you something from my personal perspective, it just stimulates you to go on. Just some thoughts about excessive verbiage. Joan said, you've been doing all the talking. Well, I got to do all the talking. It's my radio show. Thank you so much for joining me here. And I thank you, Andrew Krucek and Eric Dumont. Ave and EWTN. Walk with God. You don't have to say a whole lot. He knows what you're thinking.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.